All right, so before I ask you guys the comedian question here in just a second, Ramona, you just said you hit Smashburger on your way up here. You ordered on the app.
Yeah.
You created your own drink at Starbucks.
I know.
Have you created your own burger at Smashburger?
I do the grilled chicken sandwich, and I add avocado and bacon, and then I thought about it. I thought about adding the truffle mayo to it. I thought that would be really good, but I didn't go for it this time. I just did the regular mayo.
It's
going to
be just the Momo at all these different restaurants.
Have you ever heard,
Starbucks.
Hey, Greg, find this. It's somewhere back there. Find Mason's Starbucks order. Have you ever heard this?
I can imagine.
It's
I don't think I have.
It is. I mean, it won't surprise you because it's Mason.
Is it like a novel?
But it is ridiculous.
Well, he comes in with three or four items at once.
And he says it to the guy like it's normal.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, you got it, Greg?
It's, yeah.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, man, how are you?
Pretty good, man. Let me start with you.
Got like a reduced fat turkey, bacon, and cheddar.
Okay.
I'd like three Trenta iced passion teas. No cane sugar, no lemonade, but please add three stevias.
Three stevias.
So three teas, right?
Yep, three.
Passion iced teas, no liquid cane, three stevias.
Okay. Yep. And then I'd like a venti iced almond milk quad latte.
Okay.
Add two stevias to that.
Gotcha.
Yep. That's it.
All right, so that's it. Trav,
that's like $48.
Any of his order.
Okay.
Any of it.
I'm so glad you said that because I have no chance, right?
Right.
No, the dude.
It's so much content, so much information.
Yeah.
The quad.
The most amazing part about it is the dude that's working at Starbucks, like, yeah, I got you. Like, he didn't miss a beat.
All that.
He was
There's
all over
no
it.
No way they're not messing that order
yeah.
up.
He didn't seem worried.
I think the way you have to do it is you have to hit the button right as he says it.
Okay.
Right.
Add three. Mace was going through it pretty quick. Yeah. Stevia out and lemonades in. All right. I don't know what the hell that was.
Like yesterday.
And why
does
he need four different drinks?
I was golfing and I made an order. My thing is I'll go into the restaurant and I'll make an order to go and I'll say I'll be back in 20 minutes and I'll go take a shower and I'll come back.
Okay.
So it'll be ready. And there was a new guy working in the restaurant. So I said, hey, can you have him make me a breakfast burrito with no tomatoes, and I'm going to grab an iced tea, and here's my number, and put $5 in for you, and I'll be back in 20 minutes. And he's looking at me, and he's not writing anything down.
Oh, boy.
And I went, do you want to write any of this down? No, I got it.
Ugh.
And he got it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Some guy named Kevin. Shout out to Kevin. But I
confident
was like,
young man.
I almost said, look, I'm
would you mind writing it down?
I'm kind of an efficiency nut.
Yeah.
Can I write it? Would that have been a jerk move if I said, can I write it down and give it to
you? I'm glad you asked, John, because my wife is the nicest, kindest. She's
got
wonderful.
Faith in everybody.
She believes that everybody's got their heart in the right place.
Yeah, I met your wife. She seems like that.
She is that person. If the waiter does not write down her order,
that's her pet peeve.
That is the, it's coming back wrong. And she's like, you sure you got the dressing on the side? Yep, got it. And the waiter's just standing there like, yeah, I got it. And
drives
half
me
the time it comes
crazy.
Back wrong.
Crazy.
Yeah, so
drives
you
me
guys
insane.
Get along
all
right.
All right, so let me bring something up that I brought up yesterday at the start of our show. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I'm going to ask you guys if I'm a complete chump or if I did the right thing. Okay. I asked yesterday, Morales, Andy, Jorge, and Greg, and only Morales, strangely, said I did this right.
Okay.
The other three guys said, I'm a chump.
So you're on Morales Island.
I love Chris, but normally when Morales is the only one that agrees with you, you probably screwed it up.
Okay.
So here's what happened. It has never happened to me before in my life. We're in Idaho. And Lisa runs my wife runs all our finances. I don't see the bills. I don't even, my jobs are direct deposit. I don't know how much money we have. I don't know anything. but Lisa knows all of it. And she goes, hey, I'm going to show you something. And she pulls up my checks that I get from here. And Mason and I got new contracts July 1st. And Lisa shows it to me, and I realize that since July 15th, the first pay period, they've been paying me double.
Oh.
In other words, they're paying me my old contractual rate.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And my new contractual rate. Right.
Okay.
And it has gone on since July 15th.
Uh-huh.
So for a
month and a half.
Yeah, until I finally caught it. And Lisa goes, there's no other explanation for this, right? This isn't advertise. You're not doing a lot of commercials. You're not getting a lot of bonuses. I go, no, this
they're
is
just really happy with
they
you.
They just really like me.
And strangely, it started on July 15th, which is my actual birthday.
Oh.
That was the day.
Birthday bonus.
I'm like, maybe they love me. Maybe it's a birthday bonus.
They don't even tell you.
And you know, since you get paid by ESPN, which has hundreds and thousands of employees, I said to myself, you know what? They're probably never going to catch this.
Yeah.
But Travis, I thought of line. I don't know if you've ever seen Legend of Bagger Vance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which isn't a great movie, but there's a scene at the end.
It's a golf movie.
Where Matt Damon is tied for the lead in this big golf event, and he steps near his ball, and the ball moves. And he goes, that ball moved. And he's got a kid caddying for him.
Mm-hmm.
The kid goes, no, it didn't. And he goes, that ball moved. He goes, I'm the only one that saw it, and I'm not telling anybody. You're tied for the lead. Hit the ball. Nobody will ever know. And Matt Damon looked at the kid and goes, Artie, I'll know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's, I don't know why that popped into my head. I went, I could take this money and they'd probably never catch it, but I'll know. So I told that story yesterday. I said, Bergman, did I play it right? He goes, I said, would you have told him? He goes, told him what?
He's the caddy.
I went to Jorge. Jorge goes, not saying a word. Went to Andy. He goes, not in my current financial situation. Morales goes, no, you did the right thing because he said, number one, it's always going to be on your mind.
Yep.
And number two, if they find out later, you're going to have huge issues.
Right.
The money's going to be, you're going to spend the money.
Yep.
You're going to be in a different tax. He goes, you're actually hedging on creating you have a small problem now. It could turn into a big one. I would have known.
You're
going
to have to pay it back is what's going to happen.
Of course you are.
John is going to live at Terranera.
If
who's gonna
Ramona,
live
yeah.
pay what back?
Oh, right. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
No, but
okay,
should I have at least, the reason I can tell this story in the air is because I did what I did.
Yes. Yeah.
But, and I'm probably killing Mason if they did it for him too. I didn't even think about that.
That's a good point.
Mason's got to come back early. Costa Rica.
I haven't even told him. I emailed him yesterday and he got right back to me.
Yeah.
In
he's definitely back because he's texting me random stuff.
No, he's in Costa Rica, but he'll come back and lie and say, I disconnected for a week.
Yeah.
Text him if you're in one of his fancy baseball leagues, text him a trade and get back to you in 5 minutes.
That's funny.
But, all right, first of all, Slee, you first. If that exact scenario happened to you, how would you have played it? And by the way, what I did was, once Lisa showed it to me, she caught it on Sunday night, I had her take a screenshot, and I sent it all to Scott McCarthy, our boss, and I said, hey, I know you're going to think I'm an idiot, but I'm honest to a fault.
Yeah.
Here's what's happening. And Scott wrote back, he goes, huh, I've never seen that happen before.
Yeah.
He goes, let me get into it. Sure enough, very nice woman from Disney payroll called me. She goes, it's exactly what you thought. We forgot to cancel your old contract, and we've been paying you the new one. So, Slee, under those conditions, how would you have handled it?
So I think the perception Disney's going to have on Jorge, Greg, and AK moving forward, I think they now know what they would do in that situation. I think he did the right thing.
But would you have done that?
I would have done that, and I'll tell you why. Ultimately, they're not just going to keep paying you what you were making. It's going to catch up.
Okay, but think about it. We, all of us on-air people are paid by ESPN. We have new owners for the rest of the building.
Yep.
Very easily could have slipped through the cracks, Alan.
Oh, and it probably would have for a long time.
I asked this woman yesterday. I asked this woman at Disney. I said, okay, now that because she gave me a choice. She said, you can write a check to us for what
plus interest.
Right.
So I took the just don't pay me. Correct it. I don't want to be writing you a check.
Yeah, I don't. It's your mistake, not mine. Yeah.
I had to do that once. It was the agent commission, and they didn't do it the right way, but I ended up owing them money, and I was like, well, I'd never want to write you a check.
Right.
I only want to do direct deposit.
Self correct. All right. So Ramona, if the exact thing same happened to you, how would you have played?
I would have done exactly what you did. Because one, I feel
back.
Like I'm going to have to pay it back at some point when they figure it out.
Maybe.
Maybe. even though it's their mistake.
By the way, I forgot. I asked her. I said, hey, the woman from Disney payroll, I said, be honest with me about something.
Yeah.
Now that I've come clean and you know that I'm an honest guy.
Yeah.
Had I said nothing, would this eventually, would somebody have caught it? And she paused. She was very nice. She paused and she said, I'll answer your question this way. There are probably people at our company that are taking advantage of situations like this.
Wow.
I would have done what you did, but I have no way of knowing if we ever would have caught it. So you would have known it, Trav. How about you?
I it's unanimous. Here's why. It might have taken them a really long time to find it.
But you're paying it back.
They would have found it. It might have gone on for a couple of years, John.
Wow.
Where you're double dipping, but they're going to find it. Somebody somewhere's job, as I understand, to go through this and make sure
audits it
may take years for them to find it. And if you're double dipping, let's say it takes a couple of years, and they come to you and say,
I got 3 years left of the contract, Trav.
But then they come to you and say,
we owe us
3 years of your salary coming back in.
Right.
And now it's a huge problem on your end. And we were talking about my religion is
the baseball
gods.
He doesn't speak English.
Right? I heard you talking about that.
My religion. I
believe in the Church of Baseball.
I had a feeling that you do.
Oh, yeah.
I also believe.
I got it.
In,
if no one else
thank
got
you
that,
for getting
it.
Thank you.
It's Bull Durham.
I get it.
I'm
with you. That reminds me.
Yeah. Not everybody does. I have a t-shirt with that. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
I texted Morales as soon as he did it. My favorite drop he's ever done. I'm driving around in Idaho. The day of the schedule release. I'm driving around. By the way, the app is awesome. Because I just click the app. I'm driving around Idaho. I'm listening to Travis and Slee. And he's doing a promo for the schedule release. May I see it? You want to see it? Yes, please. Do you know what that's from?
No. Tell me.
Jorge, it's probably out of the system. See if you can find it.
Boogie Nights.
Mark Wahlberg, the Colonel, makes a request.
Yep.
The guy who's doing the movies, he walks in and goes, I hear you have a very big...
Here it is.
May I see it?
Yeah, so he just said that. He said, "May I see it? You want to see it?"
Morales plays.
So I sent Chris a text.
Yeah,
like it's crazy. I don't care if anybody doesn't get it. And he said, "You got it right away."
100%.
Yeah,
I mentioned it coming out of the imaging. I'm like, "Yes, you can see it." Right.
Never been prouder of you, Travis.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Yeah. I also believe not only the Church of Baseball, Ramona.
Yeah.
I believe in karma.
Yeah.
I really do. Yep. I think that if you have good mojo in the universe,
I agree.
Good mojo comes back, and knowing that you're taking money that you didn't earn. Is bad mojo.
Yeah.
It is, but hey, it could, if I don't get caught, it's also money I could use.
No,
you know?
I'm not saying that it's not, you couldn't use it. I'm not saying you couldn't invest or save or whatever it is you want to do, but they're finding it, and now the universe is aware. The universe knew from the beginning.
It's a good contract you signed over there.
Yeah.
I like that.
They must really like me. Hey, but by the way,
you know what would be interesting is if there's any sort of legal position you could take, say, listen, this is your mistake, not mine. This is my money that you paid me. You guys blew this.
Right. Okay, so I thought about this, but if I took that position, it would be very easy for them to come up with a reason to terminate me in another way. And I'd ruin, so in other words, they would never trust you again.
No, of course not. But if you were getting double dipped for, let's say it took them a year.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know you're getting double
dipped. I could say I don't have it.
But you couldn't say I don't know, right?
Of course I could.
No.
Trav, I swear to you.
I think you could
when
say,
I say his wife does all the
when
finances.
When I say I don't look at
So you're going to throw Lisa under the bus?
No.
She's not employed.
Lisa knows?
Yeah, right. But
so you're telling me that she never said anything to you?
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, you have enough deniability.
He does, but then they're going to go, well, hold on, your wife does your books? Okay.
I also think it would have messed with you on taxes. Like once
that's
you get your W-2.
Said. That's what she said.
Yeah.
She said it's going to kick you into another bracket. And you're gonna be
well, sure, but you double dip.
Since we only got a couple minutes here, I wanted to circle back to you guys were talking about if the playoffs started today, who the Dodgers would pitch in a playoff series. Mm-hmm. I actually, Trav, you know, so I'm guessing you would put Gonsolin or Urias as the number one starter in game one.
It's Julio. Julio's number one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so you'd put Gonsolin too.
Depending on Kershaw's health. If Kershaw's
Let's say
healthy,
Kershaw's unavailable.
Okay, right. Yes.
See, I would put Dustin May too to pitch him at home.
Okay.
And then put...
That's fine.
Either
but,
Gonsolin...
But who's coming out? That's the question. Because you're going
Anderson.
You're going to use four guys. What if Anderson finishes the season, Johnny, 16-5 and he's got an ERA of 2.5? You going to sit him down?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you can't sit Kershaw.
We're not going to sit Kershaw. You're going to sit
He's saying Dustin May.
Well, here's one thing. You could use May. If you go back to when the Angels won the World Series, I know it's forever, they had K-Rod, Frankie Rodriguez,
yep.
and nobody had seen him.
Right.
So they used him in long relief. They used him to pitch like 7-8 to get to Percival. And he had, like, I don't think he gave up a run in the whole playoffs.
No, he was unhittable.
Yeah.
Could you use Dustin May in that role? 100%. Or because he's coming off of a rebuilt elbow, maybe not.
The question is, can he pitch in back-to-back games? Because you're going to play back-to-backs in the playoffs. So, if he can, then yes. And the other thing is...
But
is,
if not, Trav, why not use Anderson in that role, in the K-Rod role?
Because here's why. Anderson is not a huge swing and miss guy. He's not a come in and boom, boom, boom. That's why he's better suited for that.
Yeah.
That's why May is better suited for that role. He's going to come in and throw 12 pitches and strike three guys out.
Yeah.
Tyler Anderson's not going to do that. If you get in a sticky situation where there's two guys on, one out, Juan Soto and Machado are coming
right.
up. Tyler Anderson's going to need a ground ball, fly ball. May can just come in there and blow those guys away.
I think also this is the part where you have to know your personnel and their personalities. I always come back to this. Like, if you know a pitcher and how he thrives, Dustin May may love that. Like, the high leverage, come out of the bullpen, flamethrower. I don't have to hold anything back because I'm just doing one inning.
Other thing you could do is remember the year they won the World Series in the bubble, they...
Urias was in that
role. Yeah, Julio.
And maybe
he was the closer.
Yeah, maybe you put Julio back in that role.
He was K-Rod and Percival.
Right.
Yeah. He was both.
He was.
Correct. Which and Kimbrel makes everybody nervous. Gratterall is not that guy.
See,
it looks like you're not getting. It looks like you're not getting Trinan back.
No, he's on track to come back.
So what was that thing where Friedman said yesterday he would have had surgery?
Well, he Trinan is scheduled to come back early September.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least the goal. He's pitching in the minor leagues. He looks pretty good. He's on the rehab. So I'm more in your camp though, John. Until they're on the roster, I'm assuming they're not on the roster, right? That the Kershaw being available, he's likely to be available. Trinan's likely to be available, but until I see those guys pitching again, I don't know. I got to figure it out with what I have today.
Yeah,
I think that's the way that one goes. All right, that is Super Crosstalk brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Mason and Ireland, Momo's in. Woo-hoo. That's coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ah! Guest growl, Ramona.
Ah!
All right, gang's all here except for Mason. He's on vacation, but Momo, we're amply covered. Momo's here.
Yeah.
And Bergman's here, and Jorge's here. And to answer Chris Morales, I did a little more digging about my... So, Ramona, as you know about me, I always have a TV on when I'm at home working.
Yeah.
At night, it's the Dodger game. When I'm at home during the day, it's the Hallmark Channel. When I wake up in the morning, it's SportsCenter and GetUp.
Yeah.
So when I was in Idaho, my brother-in-law is a cord cutter. And I discovered that if you have a Samsung TV, this is not just in Idaho, it's anywhere.
Right.
And you're a cord cutter, they have this, if you log into their app, they have like 100 channels.
Oh, wow.
None of them are great.
But
as a matter of fact, it's something to watch. So they had a 24-hour Baywatch channel.
Oh my gosh.
24-hour. And once you start, you cannot turn it off.
So, oh, John, no. I found out I have one. I have a Samsung TV. So I need to get the Samsung
app. Do you have a smart
app?
TV? That's the question.
No, it's pretty old.
Yeah. No,
like
but
2012, 2013.
You're right on the cusp. You may be able to download
TV.
An update.
So if I get like the...
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
I do.
Oh, yeah. I do, too.
First 10 seasons available for free on Amazon Prime.
There we go.
But I'm warning you.
Yasmin Bleeth.
Once you go down this rabbit hole, you will feel guilty about the way your body looks.
Oh, yeah.
You will want to work out more. You will want to get to the bottom of how every one of the penthouse and play and Playboy playmates suddenly became doctors and lifeguards. It's a channel you will not be able to turn off. So that's
you know what's great about that show is you could probably just come in and out of it all the time. Like, you don't have to know the plots.
Oh,
you don't have to know.
Not probably.
Yeah.
And there are no plots.
Yeah.
Basically, it's David Hasselhoff and a bunch of hot girls running around on the beach.
Pretty much.
But it's once you start, you can't turn it off. All right, all sorts of stuff going on. It's August 24th, 8/24, so it's Kobe Day.
Kobe Day!
Yesterday would have been Kobe's 44th birthday. Tonight at the Dodger game, it's Lakers night.
Right.
They're giving away a jersey that has Kershaw on one side and Magic on the other. And I thought that... Ramona and I covered Kobe basically his whole career. And I've got a ton of Kobe stories, and I've told them pretty much all over the years. But I heard a story that I had never heard before from our friend Mark Spears. Mark Spears is a very good NBA reporter who is now working at the Undefeated.
Yeah, they renamed it Anscape.
Okay.
But yeah, same thing.
And before that, Mark has, you know, I think he worked at Yahoo
Boston Globe.
Yeah, but
LA Daily News.
Yeah.
He's another alum.
Great writer, great reporter. And I know Mark pretty well. He's been on the show.
My name for him is the mayor of Oakland.
Yeah.
Like, he is from Oakland, and while we were going up to the Warriors games all the time, he was like everyone's host. He was like,
okay,
welcome to Oakland.
So that actually plays into this thing. So to let you know, like, Kobe was insanely competitive. I've told this story many times that one year we were in Detroit and we got stuck there for Thanksgiving. This year we're getting stuck for Thanksgiving in San Antonio. Oof. And nobody had any Thanksgiving plans. So Kobe literally, like, he asked the Lakers, he goes, are you doing anything for the traveling party? And the Lakers said, no, we're not planning any. Kobe goes, all right, I'll do it. And he rented a ballroom and he invited the whole traveling party and he had the whole thing catered. And it was super nice for him to do this. And he had him. Is a big ballroom because we had about 50 people. And there's a ping pong table in there. And so he, because he's super competitive, wanted to play everybody in ping pong. And Mike Trudell grew up with a ping pong table, and he's a really good ping pong player.
Trudell's good at things like that.
Well, but particularly
that
ping pong.
That particular skill.
Like, you can't check him in ping pong.
Yeah.
I got like 2 points off him when I played him. So he tells Kobe this. Kobe goes, hey, Mike, grab that paddle. I want to play ping pong. He goes, Kobe, I'm good. I grew up with a ping pong table. Kobe goes, really? And they play, and Trudell destroys him. Okay.
Whoa.
Like, Trudell's really good.
Yeah.
Kobe goes, okay. Goes, Pau Gasol grew up with the ping pong table.
Right.
Pau was on the team, came in, and so it turned into this super match between Gasol and Trudell, and I think Trudell beat him. But the more of the story is, Kobe immediately, I'm friends with all the security guys that go everywhere with Kobe. Kobe immediately walked in the other room, picked up his phone, and ordered a ping pong table off of Amazon that was waiting for him when he got home. So when this exact scenario came up a year later, Kobe almost beat him. That's how competitive he is. So you remember that Kobe wore number 8 early in his career. Well, then, when Kobe first got into the league, Sonny Vaccaro was working for Adidas and signed Kobe to this huge Adidas deal. And Adidas and Kobe, several years into his career, had a bad breakup. They decided not to renew his shoe deal. He was mad at them. They were mad at him. And, you know, Kobe realized, he started looking at the numbers going, okay, even though I'm broken up with Adidas, every time they sell a number 8 jersey, they're going to make money off me.
Yep.
And they're going to be able to sell my own shoes. Screw them. I'll change my number and they'll never get another dime off me. And so he changes to 24, gets a Nike deal, and just basically, that's how competitive Kobe is. So right around that time, when he had broken up with Adidas and gone to Nike, Mark Spears is at Laker practice. And he wants to interview Kobe, and he can't get to him during the regular media scrum. And so Mark waits for Kobe in the parking lot, and Kobe walks out. And Mark has a relationship with him.
That's what we used to do.
Yeah, and he says, hey, I want to interview you. And Mark has on his favorite sweatsuit and his favorite shoes, which are Adidas. Oh. And I will let him take the story from there. This runs about 1 minute in honor of Kobe Day.
So one time after a Lakers practice, I caught Kobe Bryant in the parking lot and I wanted to talk to him for an interview. And he goes, why you disrespected me like that?
I'm like, what are you talking about? Why are you wearing this Adidas stuff, man? You know I'm Nike. I'm not gonna do the interview unless you get rid of that suit. I'm like, man, how am I supposed to get rid of the suit right now? I have forgot that Kobe had, I guess, a feud with Adidas, because Adidas was still selling his old shoe, even though he had moved over to Nike. And I'm like, man, I can't change it right now. He's like, all right. When you get home, I want you to take that suit and throw it away. And then I want you to send me video of you having thrown away the suit, so I'll know that you actually did it. So I'm gonna do the interview, but you gotta send me this video of you getting rid of this Adidas suit. And don't ever disrespect me like that again. It's like, all right, man. So I literally went home that next day, and I had an apartment that had a trash chute. And I took the Adidas shoes, I took the sweatsuit, and videotaped me throwing it away, and lived up to my side of the bargain and sent it to him.
Now, I've heard every story about Kobe that there is. I'd never heard that one. Had you?
No, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, Mark's been doing these little tales from his reporter notebook over the years. So like he does these really well. You go listen to a few of the other ones too. But that is so Kobe. And I also, like, he probably did, like, the fact that Mark forgot that he had had that breakup with Adidas, right?
Yeah.
Like, he'll hold that against him.
Right.
He'll talk about that for years. Like, you should just know, man.
Yeah. Well, and the thing was, I saw him once, there was a ball boy in Miami, and Kobe was always at the gym shooting all the time. And the ball boy said, hey, Kobe, after the game tonight, can I have your shoes? And Kobe said, well, what do I get? And he goes, I don't know, I'll take care of you in the locker room. I'll get you whatever you need. Kobe goes, okay, because he's so competitive. He goes, let's play a game. He said, I'm going to give you 3 shots from the top of the key. If you make one, I'll give you my shoes after the game. But if you miss, I get 1 shot from the top of the key, and I'm going to shoot it left-handed. And if I make it, you have to run until I tell you to stop. So the kid's like, well, that's a great deal. And so the kid takes his 3 shots, and he doesn't make them. Comes close on one, but doesn't make them. Kobe gets up, left-handed, and banks it in. And there's maybe 10 of us watching this.
And you know he practices this.
Right, and he knew he practiced it. And he makes the kid start running. The kid was a little overweight, and he's like, and the kid's running and run. And now at this point, all like Dwayne Wade and Udonis Haslam and all the Miami players just laughing. The kid's laughing. And he's like, keep running. Didn't
keep
tell
going.
You something. He made this kid run for about, and people are just laughing, and the kid couldn't do it. And he ran until he was like just dead tired. Kobe goes, okay. You good? You okay? You want some water? He goes, here. Gave him the shoes. That's how competitive Kobe was. It's just, he would have been 44 yesterday, Ramon. He would have been here for another 40 years. It's just so sad.
You know, I actually went to City Hall when they said today is Kobe Day. When they declared that it was Kobe Day, 824. And he, it was after he had retired, right? And he, you know, his birthday was the day before. And then the next day is his 2 numbers.
Right.
And it was so fun to see, there was such a crowd of people there. Like, everyone showed up for Kobe Day. All of the politicians at City Hall had to make a speech.
Of course.
Like, we're all there to just hear Kobe. And
you have to wait for 8 people.
Oh, my gosh.
9
everyone.
City councilmen and the mayor.
And it was just, like, the classic, like, hey, man, keep it short. Like, we all know that you want to have your say. But, like, let's keep – there was one dude who just went on and on and
it's
on.
The number one, it's the number one thing when I agree to MC something.
Yep.
I say, I need to see the list of speakers and how long it is. And they go, well, we have some sponsors that have to speak. Mm-hmm. I go, if there's more than 3 people who I don't know, I'm out.
Yep.
Because people hate that. People, I can't tell you how much people hate that.
Yep.
When you give a platform to someone who no one knows who it is.
Yes, and they were just going on and on. And like, Kobe very patiently waited.
Right.
He waited, but we're all like, come on. And you've never seen City Hall so full.
Yeah.
It was out and spilling out of the building, and like all these councilmen and yeah. all
Well,
these
you could make
leaders.
An argument that Kobe was, at the time that he died, was the most famous guy in L.A. So
I would agree with that.
You know, happy Kobe Day. We'll be, you know, we'll be dropping in Kobe stories throughout the day. Coming up next, there's a show everybody's talking about that I can't get into for whatever reason. And it's a show I should be able to get into. We'll get into that next. Momo and Fermace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA. That's right. It's Momo and Ireland today and for the next few days while Mason's on vacation. I know that's shocking. Ramona, are you watching House of Dragons?
100%. I watched it the first night. I stayed up late that night just so I could watch it the first night and not have any spoilers. It was
now,
great.
I loved Game of Thrones, yeah. But I feel like I got my fix of that genre with Game of Thrones, and I have little or no interest in watching House of Dragons. Give me your review of the episode one of House
of
Dragons.
I have to ask you a question, though.
Tell me, should I watch it or
you
blow it off?
You binged it? You binged House of Thrones. I mean, sorry, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You binged it. So yep. I think I understand why you feel like you had your fix, because you binged it. You didn't watch it
Correct.
Over the course of the long period
Yeah,
of
probably
time.
The last two seasons I watched every week.
Right. So I think you watched it so fast that like you don't miss it enough. Whereas people like me who watched it every, you know, like each week as it came out and it was like a big event, we really miss it because we would only watch one at a time and we were kind of used to it. But okay, I'll give you my review. I thought it was set 172 years before the start of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
But what's fun about it is it has a whole new cast. There's nobody in the original, like there's no crossover characters yet, but you know a lot of the names, so you hear a lot of the precursor names. So you hear so-and-so Stark and the Baratheons, and you hear and it's kind of fun to, oh, the Hightowers. Oh, I remember Hightower. So you can, it's like their ancestors. And you used to hear about all them in Game of Thrones, but now you see the previous drama. So I think it's a really well done prequel. They got me involved in the story. The casting is great. Matt Smith, who would have thought Matt Smith could play Prince Philip?
Yeah,
and in Damon
the, he was
Targaryen,
great in The Crown.
Yeah, who's like kind of a angry younger brother who's, I think, shaping up to be somewhat of a villain in this story.
Right.
He's great in it. He's great in this role. And the female lead, who I think is sort of a precursor type character to Daenerys Targaryen.
To Emilia Clarke.
Right?
Yeah.
She's great in this too. So I really like the story they're setting up. And there's fun, I guess we'll call them callbacks because it's a prequel to characters that you've been hearing about the whole time through Game of Thrones.
Right. So Emilia Clarke, who played Daenerys Targaryen. I've told the story before, but for those who haven't heard it, it might be one of my favorite practical jokes of all time. Have you ever heard the story about Emilia Clarke's mom?
No.
All right. So I heard her tell this on like The Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
So she is living in Venice, where Mason lives, you know, in Southern California, working her way up, trying to become an actress. And she's from England. And so her mom came to visit her in Venice. And so at the exact time that her mom came to visit her in Venice, she had met a guy and she was dating and she kind of liked him. And she said to her mom, "Mom, I really want to spend the night with this guy. We've been dating for a while. I wanted to have it over my apartment, but I feel bad because you're here. So I've got you a room in a hotel just for a night so we can have some privacy at the apartment." And her mom goes, "Of course. Yeah. You know, thank you."
How old is she?
25.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
30, maybe.
Yeah.
She's in right before she's
not like a teenager. Okay.
Right. Like Game of Thrones is on.
But she's not the star yet.
It's just starting to take off.
Okay.
So her mom goes, "Sure, of course." She goes, "Okay. So I'm going to go to work and here's the address. You know, you just got to be out of here and at the hotel by like 5. Mom goes, "Got it." So everything goes as planned. And she goes out with this guy. And she comes back to her place in Venice. And her mom has taken every type of Daenerys Targaryen memorabilia and put it up around the house. Like on the couch is pillows of Daenerys Targaryen. She found bed sheets were Daenerys Targaryen bed sheets. So when the guy finally comes over to her apartment, it was nothing but pictures of her as the Queen of Dragons. And it got like, you know, just to mess with her.
Oh,
how great of a mom, how great of a joke is that?
Yeah. Oh, so they had to like take it all down.
Yeah, she's like, I swear this, my mom did this as a joke. I would have loved, I got to meet your mom. Good for.
I would have gone to the hotel with the boyfriend and let the mom stay at the house. That's how you do that.
Right. Ugh. And to do, I think maybe she wanted to cook him dinner or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, so it may have qualified for that. But I thought that is one of the great practical jokes of
all
time.
You binge it in like 2 years? And you got caught up on it?
Oh, I binged it in like 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah.
So I think you just OD'd on it. I think you just kind of overdid
it,
right? Yeah, it's great. But you're right. You don't miss it enough. And for me, it reminded me of a time, John, when I had appointment television and I was able to make appointment TV.
Yeah, those days are like, there isn't a show now that you wait for it to come on. I figured out the other day, I'm not recording anything.
No.
Off of ABC, NBC, CBS, or Fox.
No.
I record other stuff, but I don't record any network TV except sports.
Yeah.
If I'm going to, like, miss a game, you know.
I mean, I catch everything way later, you know, just a year later. Like, I just watch Encanto. I finally know why we don't talk about Bruno. that's why. Oh, cool.
Right. Yeah, so it's that's kind of the way TV exists.
So I tried to watch it last night.
You tried to watch House of Dragons last night?
I tried to watch it. Yes, I tried to watch it. I watched it around 10 o'clock at night, so I was starting to get a little tired. Yeah, it is very late for me.
Because you're old man, Greg.
I am an old man. I'm asleep by 10:30, let's be real. So I tried to watch it. Right? So I tried to watch it, and I just, like, the first 10 minutes, it was just a lot of exposition.
Yeah,
and it was a lot of talking, and I was just like, my eyes were starting to get heavy and drowsy. Maybe I should have to watch it earlier in the day.
Yeah, you need to watch it earlier.
But
and you have to turn
the
captions on. That is the key to watching Game of Thrones. You have to have closed captioning on.
No.
Why?
Because there's so many weird names that you can't really process. Oh, okay. And you don't know who's talking and you don't know. Like, there's going to be like 25 new characters that you have no idea who they're talking about.
There's already so many new characters just to watch
confusing.
Game of Thrones. I don't know. I think it might be too much.
No, you got to turn the captions on. Trust me.
Yeah. All right. So three of the four of us, Jorge's the exception. Jorge's a Niners fan. But Momo, Bergman, and I are all Raider fans.
Yes, sir.
And so do either one of you, Momo or Greg, know who Scott Thompson is? I guarantee you know. He's known by another name and you know him.
Oh, okay.
But his real name is Scott Thompson.
Is he the Raider fan, the guy with the in the black hole or something?
No. It's Carrot Top.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Right. Carrot
Scott
Top's
Thompson.
Real name is Scott Thompson. He was in a casino in Vegas, and he's being mocked. He's being attacked. He's being ridiculed on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram because what he was caught doing in a casino was placing a $100 bet on the Raiders to win it all. To win the Super Bowl this
Good
season.
Man.
If they pull it off, he'd win a quick $4,000. So $100 to win $4,000. And everyone's making fun of him, saying, well, you know, the Raiders aren't even going to make the playoffs. They're in a loaded division. I would do that. I'd bet $100 on the Raiders to see if they get lucky. I mean,
they're good.
I don't necessarily – I mean, they were – I mean – I know that we're all like ridiculously biased Raider fans, but they were one play away from knocking the Bengals out of the playoffs last year.
Should have knocked the Bengals out of the playoffs.
And we got Davante Adams.
Right.
And Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
And we got rid of Jon Gruden.
Yeah.
I mean,
is this the curse of Bisaccia?
I don't know. Why is
that
Carrot,
say his name?
Why is Carrot Top being mocked? Or is he simply being mocked because he's Carrot Top and he has orange hair and that? But
yeah, but you know what though? Carrot Top has a residency in Vegas. Like, he's been at the Luxor forever.
Yeah.
Is it Luxor or one of those?
I see
the poster.
Matter of fact, Scott Thompson, a.k.a. Carrot Top, if these people are guilting you and shaming you over your Raiders bet, I will take your action. Reach out to me. I'll buy the ticket off you for $100. No harm, no foul.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Just take it right back.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I like it. I would definitely do that.
You know, some people are saying, why don't you just take $100 and throw it out the window?
Just say that about any futures bet.
Right. Yeah, they're probably Cowboys fans,
No wonder you're a comedian, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't think it's a ridiculous bet.
No, it's $100. No, $100,000 or something.
$100,000 is a good bet for the Raiders, too. This team is going to win a Super Bowl this year.
Okay, exactly.
You go ahead and do that, Greg.
No,
I'll put $100. I'd probably go $500.
Yeah, see, okay, look, Dave, that's confidence. Now,
stretching a little bit.
Yeah. Wait a minute, you want to bet $500 on that?
Why not?
You wouldn't, John?
No, I'd bet $100. $100 to win $4,000, that's a good return.
Confidence. No confidence.
No, I don't have that much confidence. The best team in the division is Kansas City. They've won the division 6 years in a row.
I don't think they are this year.
I think they fell off a little.
And then a lot of people like the Chargers
and
the changes that they made.
They're the Clippers.
But are they? I mean, I like Brandon Staley. I like Justin Herbert. They haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, where are their Super Bowls?
Greg, the last playoff game we won was in 2002.
You know, we don't need to talk about that part. But
all right, coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions.
There you go.
What was that?
He played some Bruno for me.
Oh, there you go. all right, coming up, we'll spin the wheel of questions. And something apparently happened on the afternoon show yesterday that you and I don't know anything about, but Greg has all the details, and he says it's good. So we'll have that for you coming up.
Count on Greg.
We are. We're going to see what he comes
Love
up
you too,
with.
Momo.
And Momo's actually concerned. When we come back with wheel of questions and more, Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace, ESPN LA. Okay, this is interesting. If you could send yourself from 10 years ago, so August of 2012,
okay,
a message lasting only 10 seconds, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Okay, I have to think about what I was doing 10 years ago.
Bergman, were you working here yet 10 years ago?
No, 2016 I was working
here. All right, Jorge, what about you? What were you doing in 2012?
2012, school.
So you weren't here yet.
Yeah,
okay, so for me, I was at ESPN. I had just gotten hired in 2009, but end of 2009. So I'd been here for about 2 years.
Okay.
But I really hadn't made it yet, quote unquote, made it.
Right.
Right? And I didn't have any kids yet, and I I think I saw the opening of like what I could create for myself here.
Right.
The life and the career that I could create for myself, but I was probably skeptical or, you know, insecure about whether I could do it.
Right.
And also,
so it would be something along the lines of lean into ESPN LA.
Yeah.
Rather than focus as much on what you were doing nationally and everything.
But you
else.
Know what I honestly, this is if I look back on the last 10 years and think about like what I would do differently. I think the biggest thing I would do differently is take care of myself better.
I thought you might say, because I've now seen with the birth of Daniel and Jacob, and I know how solid you and Nevin are.
Yeah.
I thought yours might be start my family sooner.
Yeah, I think I would have.
Yeah, because I see how much you love it now.
Yeah, love being a mom. Although,
right.
I really do feel like I waited. I wish I was younger so I could have more kids, to be honest.
Right.
Like Nevin and Nevin's like, okay, we're done, right? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's not close the door, you know? And I'm like, well, I'm 43. I don't know.
Right.
And it's also like we'd have to probably have another one really fast.
Yeah. I think you'll be happy with two.
Yeah,
and
two's
great. You got boys and they're really fun.
And then they're so fun. But I just like love being a mom and I love having kids and I would start sooner. But I think I was not ready. And I really went hard after the career for like those 10 years. I worked really hard. I just didn't take care of myself.
It would
as
be
much.
Something about balance.
Yeah,
about,
balance.
You know, taking care of health.
You know, somebody told me something today. It was one of the moms in Daniel's class. We had a little play date in the morning.
Sure.
And she's like a doctor and she's really, you know, she told me, we were talking about this. What moms talk about on play dates while their kids are playing.
Yeah.
She goes, there's no such thing as having balance, but you can have boundaries.
Yeah, of what you're willing to allot your time.
I think that was right.
Bergman, you're sending a message to yourself in August of 2012. You got 10 seconds. What's it say?
In about 5 years, something's going to come along that seems perfect. Do not do it.
Is that when you got married?
No, I was already married. I was already divorced.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, later.
Working here?
No. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
2017, something happened?
So, about 2017, something happened, and I should not have been in that. I don't really care anymore. I should not have gotten into the relationship that I was in for 5 years.
Okay, gotcha. So
do not get into it. It seems perfect. Do not do it.
Be scrutinized that
more. There was no upside.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jorge, 2012, what's the 10-second message you leave for yourself?
Do not talk to the Navy guys approaching you on campus. I was going to join the Navy.
And you were pretty close?
I was pretty close, but then I broke my leg. And when they came back to see me, they saw me in a cast. All they told me was, good luck.
Okay.
They want you whole.
So mine would be, and this goes up, Ramona, this actually will apply to you because you have two little boys. But really, I'm sending this out to anybody who's got a special needs kid.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, Jack was 10.
Okay.
And for people who don't know, I have a son on the autism spectrum. And what I would say is focus on the stuff he can do and worry less about the stuff he can't do. Because those kids all eventually find their way.
Yeah.
But I was like, if you divided Lisa and I, it would be, Lisa was very encouraging, like, oh, well, he can do this, he can do this. And I go, wow, he can't even do that. I mean, he can't even do this, he can't even do that. And I was like worried. I go, how's that going to work? Yeah. It all works out.
It all works out.
So focus on what they can do rather than what
that's
they can't
good.
Do. Okay, so that's a wheel of questions. Greg, what happened on the afternoon show yesterday?
So today, or yesterday on the afternoon show, as Michael walks in.
Okay.
Oh.
Michael can be a part of this too. Go ahead. It went. Microphone went on. Your music is going as we speak, Michael.
Yeah,
don't
Michael
worry
wants
about
music.
It.
Your music is playing, MT.
Yeah, don't worry about it. So yesterday on the afternoon show, about 6:15, the afternoon show got a call. They were actually looking for Dr. Clapper. I'm going to let the sound tell the story.
Go ahead, Linz.
We just had Tony D'Anza on the phone.
Crazy.
Tony Danza?
Someone called the hotline in the caller ID.
From who's the boss?
Wait, hang on. They're calling again. Hang on.
Tony Danza's calling the show? No way.
I don't know.
Angela.
that's who's on the, caller ID.
I like Tony Danza.
Imagine
like him in
CarMax
Taxi.
Calling
old
back.
School.
Ooh, that'd be good.
And Alyssa Milano was playing the daughter.
Oh,
see, I was a young boy then. Yeah, I love
Big Dodger fan, Alyssa Milano. Is Tony Danza now managing the CarMax in Irvine?
Come on, man.
I don't think so. I don't know.
I think they're going to do a Who's the Boss reboot soon.
Oh, my God. What is going on? Is he looking for somebody? Tony Danza?
Dr. Clapper.
Oh, he's looking for Clapper?
How Tony Danza's looking for
Forget
Clapper?
Forget it. Put him on the line with us. Forget about Clapper. How are you?
Can you put him on the line?
So Tony Danza is actually on the phone at this point.
No, we can't do that.
Can't? Why not?
Yeah. I'm talking to Lindsay right now.
All right. So he has to agree to go in the air, right?
Hey,
oh,
so Tony.
You just missed a little bit.
No, it's okay. What happened?
Tony.
Just tell me.
So
yeah, that's me.
Hey, Tony, you got Sedano and Cap here live on 710.
So Tony Danza came on, heard them talking about Dr. Clapper, and said, these effing A's on the air. And then talked to them for a short bit of time.
So did they get the bleep fast
He
enough?
Thought they were a-holes and then ended up coming on the show for five or 6 minutes?
To talk. Well, not even 5-6 minutes. It was like 30 seconds he came on.
What was he mad about?
Because he wanted to talk to Dr. Clapper, so he called the hotline.
Was he under the impression
that
we keep Dr. Clapper in some type of cubicle here that he can just...
Well, so why did he call them F&As?
Because they were kind of like ripping on Dr. Clapper. Not really ripping on him. They were just kind of messing around. Right. Dr. Clapper came on about 6:45 after that and to explain what happened. Dr. Clapper did knee surgery on Tony Danza's knees, so they're actually pretty close.
Yeah, well, Dr. Clapper has more famous clients. Michael, you're a Dr. Clapper client.
He fixed my hip.
So that reminds me, there is a famous urban legend that Cal Ripken, if you remember, he had all those consecutive games played.
2652 is the record, I believe.
So there's a game that was canceled towards the end of the streak that was a game supposed to be played in Baltimore that they had a power outage, and the game was canceled. And so there was this false rumor that what had happened was, and it's, if you Google it, it's all over the place, but it's not true, that Cal Ripken went home, and when he went home, he discovered his wife was with an actor.
Ooh.
And he was so distraught that the Orioles then...
Was he taking acting lessons?
Maybe. The Orioles were, if Cal was so distraught that the Orioles made up a power failure and kept the streak going.
Really?
And so Chuck Booms, this guy we were working with, went on the air and he goes, it was Kevin Costner. And all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, Kevin Costner calls in and says, and they put him on the air. He said, that is 100% false. And unless you go on the air and take it back, I'm going to sue you. Hmm. And they ended up kind of talking him down from being mad, and he stayed with them for half an hour. and they interviewed him about his career and everything else. But the exact same thing that Tony Danza was, you know, basically he ended up on the air accidentally.
Sedano's there to explain it much better than I can.
Okay, so Sedano, how did he end up on the air?
So he was calling, thinking he was calling Dr. Clapper. We believe, now we had Clapper on afterwards, and I asked Clapper, do you believe, like, in his contacts, he has multiple numbers for you, and one of them is the radio station, and he just hit that one, and he thought he was calling your office? He's like, that is a very likely possibility. So when he got on the air and called us bleeping bleep holes, I don't know if he was I think he was referring to us. We weren't really talking smack. So Lindsay told me he did not hear us say what we said about Dr. Clapper because she was still on the phone with him. So it wasn't that triggered that. Maybe it was just like the confusion of the situation, but he definitely addressed us or as a group as bleeping bleep holes. Now, he was willing to come on, and Chris made an executive decision because Chris had hit the dump button like three times, so we had no delay. So he was terrified that if he cursed again, we'd all be in trouble. So he cut Tony off.
All right, so little known fact about Tony Danza. Had a very brief career as a professional boxer.
Huh.
And matter of fact, we did a story on him at KCAL where, I mean, not as a joke. He fought, like, they lined up some guys for him to fight. He won a couple of
he seems like an athlete from that scene in Who's the Boss from the opening where he slides, you know?
Well, he's a retired baseball player is his character on Who's the Boss.
But I bet he did.
Michael, you know who Tony Danza is, don't you?
Watch that stupid show.
Oh, careful.
I mean, Tony was also in Taxi, wasn't he? He was in Taxi.
Right.
Yeah.
He would absolutely kick Michael's butt like Byron Scott did in that locker room that day.
There you go. See, now that's a lie, like the Kevin Costner lie.
Yeah. it is.
And if you don't take it back, I'm going to sue you, Sedano, in Miami.
Good luck.
And Riles will be the judge. But, you'll side with me.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that is Sedano already has a lawyer on retainer in Miami.
That's true.
He gets paid in Cuban sandwiches.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so,
and not only that, if you want to take it up with somebody, take it on with Byron Scott, who actually said that on my show a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's right. He's going
to
be.
By the way, James Worthy called in to confirm the story that he smacked.
So why did Byron smack you? Is he mad at you over something?
He never smacked me. It's that Showtime. That's a Showtime, or what do you call it? A fake rumor.
Oh, it's like in Winning Time. They just made it up.
It's like the legend of Bigfoot. Never happened.
All right. So George, are you back on today?
Yeah, we're on remote. We're going to be at the brew house at Union Station. We're going to be there from 4 to 7 today.
So, Bergman, are we doing Supercross talk, or are we just handing it off
to those? Yeah, we'll still do.
Okay. All right. So we'll talk to you guys at 3:55.
You want to be on Game of Games today with Pepe?
It's going to be
hard. No, tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm doing Game of Games. It's going to be hard and remote, so I'll do Game of Games tomorrow.
Okay. Perfect. All right, George. We'll talk to you at 3:55. Go Pepe. Yeah, Pepe.
Pepe's back.
Yeah, he won last week.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Sedano. Michael Thompson's here. Did you see your son last night?
Man, I was sitting there on my couch in my man cave, and I was like, okay, Trace, because he let two pitches go by. I mean, right down the middle.
I
was like, come on, Trace, you can't do that.
All right, we'll hold that thought. We'll get into it next. Michael is here. He's got Game of Games today. Momo is here for Mace. We'll do a little three-man weave when we get back. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.